closer.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
I'm in Port Canaveral. The boat is literally taking off, so this episode is going to go as long as we have service. It's going to be a very exciting episode.
It's, who knows? I am sitting here in, where am I? Dunedin, New Zealand, with a AirPod in my left ear, talking to Nick via my phone's data plan, which is using Skype to call Skype out to Nick's mobile, with a normal earbud in my right ear to use as a microphone to avoid picking up ambient noise where I'm recording.
Well, at least you're considering ambient noise. I'm pretty sure you can just hear the motor. My room is on the fifth level of this ship, and it shakes, and it's very loud, and it's exciting. It's exciting for all of us.
Well, I mean, my ambient noise, at least we're stopped. We finally arrived in port about 20 minutes ago, so I finally managed to get through immigration, which was what was also holding us up for doing this. It's a whole journey.
You're in New Zealand.
What's that saying?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What is the saying?
Oh, the saying, life is what happens while you're trying to get other things done?
Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. I believe that's
John
Lennon.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
I think that's it.
That's the one.
You're in New Zealand right now, which is like a crazy time to be in New Zealand.
And you know what's amazing is we sailed into not Christchurch proper, but a small town, like a satellite town of Christchurch, the day after the incident, which was yesterday. Yeah, I know it was a kind of an intense time to be arriving because we got the news knowing that it was the next day.
Yeah, I can only imagine what everybody's going through on the boat right now. And I reached out to a few friends of ours from House of Magic who are from New Zealand, and they're safe and their families are safe. So thoughts are with all those, you know, good people out there. Hope everybody's okay.
Yeah. Well, it was strange because we were docking in Akaroa, which is again like a sort of satellite town of Christchurch, and it was surprisingly unaffected is almost the wrong word, because I mean, your life goes on, right? Even in the wake of something horrifying, you still got to get on. You know, people still get on with it. Business keeps operating. People keep doing stuff. There were lots of there were a few minutes of silence of various things on the ship and everything like that. But other than that, life goes on.
That's all you can do. Just keep going. It's crazy. Yeah. Did you have to do a show like before or after any of that?
That day, which was super weird. Again, they did a minute of silence in the intro, but then, you know, sometimes the job is just get on with it and do something that's fun and people don't want to be dwelling on it. People that we're alive.
I had to do a show a couple of years ago during the day of the Paris attacks, and my sister lives in Paris.
Ooh.
And that was a tough show. And I almost wanted to call it out, but I didn't. I just kind of kept going and didn't want to remind the audience of the horrors and just kind of like say, okay, let's just exist in a happy place for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think a good rule of thumb with that sort of stuff is if in doubt, don't mention it. I think the time to mention it, if it's so blatantly the elephant in the room that you can't avoid mentioning it, then you got to mention it. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's kind of like when something weird happens in the audience. You know, if you don't call out, you okay? Kristen dropped a spoon. She's tucked in our little cabin with us right now. The boat is slowly sailing away. Let's see how much time we have, guys.
This is actually going to be amazing because I'm thinking back to the horrifyingly bad over episode. This is going to be a new one. This is an episode that is going to end at some arbitrary point when we lose signal. And it will just drift out.
You're going to lose me, and then I think we'll just have a few moments of us rambling, and we'll see what happens with the conversation. So I appreciate everybody hanging in there.
That's freaking hilarious. Well, let's see how this works.
There's a sail away party happening on the. There's a sail away party happening right now on the 11th floor. Mickey and Minnie and all the characters are waving and saying hello, and we're quickly trying to get a conversation in. So that's good.
Yeah, this is the... Oh, God, I'm so tired. I'm so jet-lagged.
I had a bunch of things I wanted to say, and I don't even have the ability to get to my notes because my phone is tucked up against the window, so we have, like, signal up until the last second.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we're day late, but we're doing this. I had an interest thing. I was back on tour with Senior Willman. We did Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. We did Pittsburgh. He had a show in Vegas, and I opened for him. The Friday show was in Pennsylvania, and I walk out there in front of like 900 people, and my music isn't playing, and nothing's happening, and it's just kind of like that awkward, terrible dream you have of nothing's going right. And I just took a moment and went, you know what? I'm gonna embrace this. And I went into all my routines completely silent, without the crutch of music, and it worked. And it was pretty cool to just know that, okay, this is, I'm being literally thrown to the wolves right now, and let's see what happens. Yeah.
That's something that I remember Avner the eccentric genius clown guy talked about in one of his workshops, was that when he's working with someone sort of directing a routine or directing a bit, if it's a silent music thing, one of the first things he does is say, all right, run it without music to see if they've really got something. Because if you've really got something, his theory is it'll work without the music, and then you can add the music to really take it to the next level. But step one, do it on its own to see if there's something really there.
And that's the first thing I thought of when I looked down and I'm like, okay, music's playing, but it's not coming through the system. So there's literally nothing I can do right now. It's all on the tech, you know, the audio end. And I thought of that, what Avner would say of, okay, does this piece actually work if there's the music is completely removed? And, you know, luckily they were two pieces that, you know, I had done over 400 times, which is great. And so you just kind of rely on, okay, this beat goes to here, this goes to here, and not relying on, and you know, the music to make the effect work. And it's a good point, and he is absolutely correct with that assessment of, you know, if you have music in your show, just try doing the routines without it and see what happens. Anything chaotic or crazy happen to you in the past week?
But my brain is fried. I'm in the middle, I can't remember if we talked about this last time, I'm so off track with it all, but yeah, I'm in the middle, I'm on ship number 2 of an insane 4-ship stint. First one was, so flew from LA to Hong Kong, shipped from Hong Kong to Vietnam, flew Vietnam to Auckland, New Zealand, got on a ship, getting off today, Dunedin, New Zealand, now about to fly Dunedin to Auckland, Auckland to Dubai, Dubai to Mauritius, get on a ship in Mauritius, sail around, I don't even freaking know, somewhere there, get off, catch a flight to Brazil, get on a ship in Brazil, probably sail the Amazon, I'm not even sure, I haven't even checked the itinerary, something in Brazil, get off in Brazil, finally fly back to LA, and pass out for about 6 days.
You know you can say no to these things, right?
Yeah, but revenue, income is good. It's good to have income. Income's a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
because then I can
pay
rent and buy food.
Yeah, it always goes back to, you know, at least for me, I'm looking at the months in the calendar that aren't crazy filled. You know, this month and the month before and next month, they're all crazy busy, and I'm sure people watching from Facebook are like, wow, that guy's killing it. But, you know, come a month or two, it's very open and quiet, so it's that's kind of why you have to push yourself like crazy, is for when it gets very quiet, and just remind yourself of, okay, I was very busy, and that kind of keeps the anxiety at bay a little bit.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, it is. I mean, that's very much, as we've talked about before, I'm sort of, one of my goals for 2019 is to move to a non-ship-based economy, if I can, or at least heavily shift the balance away, because it's just destroying my life now.
Mm-hmm. What's ironic is I'm on a ship for a company that the last episode, or maybe the episode before, I kind of had my own little vigil furtive going, okay, I let it go, I'm done, and sure enough, said company says, hey, do you want this week? And I learned a lot. You learn a lot about yourself saying or thinking, should I walk away from this under principle, or should I give it another go? Because you know, you want to do a good job and also money. And I said yes. I said yes.
Well, I think there's a time and a place for principles, and there are some principles that are only going to hold you back. It's complex. Like, principles are important, but I think kind of a principle along the lines of, I won't work for a company that rejected me once, is not sort of helping anybody. you know, you least of all.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, gotta... Like,
no,
yeah,
I think no one owes you a contract ever, right?
Yeah, and that's something we get at quite a bit of. We are owed nothing in this, and that is a very frustrating element, but at the same time, it keeps you very humble. So, like, when something like this falls in my lap because of so many... several people canceled and need someone to fill in, I go, okay, I'll I guess we'll give it another whirl. So
I think I actually think a lot about that as a humanistic principle, that what are we owed, and the basic answer is nothing, except I think there's one exception to that. I think, and this comes down to sort of, you know, basic human rights and decency and respect and personal space, I think the one fundamental thing we are all owed as human beings is to be the left the fuck alone if we request it. As in, you know, not invading someone's personal space, not harassing someone, not stalking someone, not, you know, not stealing someone's stuff, not murdering someone. Like, all of those come under the heading of, if in doubt, leave the person alone. Just...
Yeah,
that's the only thing we can reasonably demand from any other human being, is if we request it, just... Get out of my everything. Leave me alone. Everything else is a glorious bonus.
I think so. Yeah, that's a very hermit way of looking at it. So. I've been working.
I think I might have been at sea too much.
I think so. I think this is just you speaking of, please leave me alone. Please just let me get into my own bed. Yeah. I understand that.
Oh, I was just... One thing that has been happening is I finally, for the first time in nearly a year, put up a blog article, which I've been meaning to do forever. I've just been stuck in, like, creative... writer's block, creator's block, mostly driven by unhealthy perfectionism, and finally broke the seal and put up an article about this podcast, appropriately enough. And I've already got a second article written, ready to post up, and it's... relates to that whole leave me alone concept tangentially.
Yeah, it's funny how it just kind of creeps up in you at times. I've been... The thing I've been really enjoying about these crazy tour dates I've been doing is that you're in a different city every single night, and it's... you're exhausted. You get... you know, they're like 14-hour days, if not longer, but, you know, there's always something happening, so it keeps the pace. But when you switch over to ship mode, you're... what's happening for you is you do the shows and then you have all that time in your hand until you have to travel again. So it's, I kind of prefer the chaotic 14-hour days because that's what I've been doing the most. It's tougher to, like, we've had to readjust this week. Kristen's with me, and it's weird just kind of slowing down your pace and going, okay, I need to figure out time alone and need to figure out how to pass time differently other than just working your butt off.
But yeah, it feels good to be, at least for the moment, here's fingers crossed that I can maintain some momentum, sharing things with the world again, because my instinct is always to hide things until I'm really unambiguously certain they're worth sharing. But the problem is my standards are so insanely high for everything that almost nothing I ever create, write, record, whatever, meets that standard. That's why this podcast has been good for me, Nick. Like, because because the fact that you're in charge of putting it out means it gets put out. If I was in charge of putting it out, it would very rarely, if ever, get put out. Because I'd be like, no, that could be better.
It's good to know that my low standards are slowly creeping into your life.
It's a beautiful thing. That's the thing. High standards, it wasn't, you know, great is the enemy of good, perfect is the enemy of excellent, all those things. Low standards subjectively, your standards are probably healthy, mine are unhealthily high. That's another good thing.
I don't know, because I mean there's stuff that's gone into the show that was definitely not ready. I've done that many times. And because of those low standards, and, you know, it falls flat on your face. But on the opposite, you know, because I'm not over perfectionist on new material, you know, we put in two new things last week and just, you know, said, okay, let's try it. And I know if I was over perfectionist, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I mean, as it is, I'm at a point where I'm terrified it's going to fall flat on its face. But there are advantages and disadvantages. And I think you kind of have to find a healthy medium. I think it's good for what you do because you're able to really dissect it and make it, you know, close to perfect. Nothing's perfect, but a lot of your stuff and your show and what you write and what you do is, you know, very meticulous. And mine's the opposite. Yeah. Mine's like, hey, let's figure it out. And I think there's good and bad in both of those things.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, the irony of that, thinking about what you're saying, is that that all my stuff that ends up in that place gets there by just throwing it at the wall and seeing what sticks and going, ah, I was going to try this and see what happens. And then slowly the refinement happens until it, yeah, chases that asymptote of perfection, right? Seeing how far up to that uncrossable line you can get.
Yeah, I think you just have to know what works for you. And, you know, it's tough, like what you said, writer's block. I mean, I've been in a different rut like that too. God. And it's the worst. It's like its own form of depression where you're just, it's like you're stuck in bed and you can't get out and you don't know why. Mm-hmm. And it's good when you can get out of it. But I mean, I'm the same way. I love writing short comedic essays, and I'll have a run of them and throw them up on the blog. And then I just get so sick of, I don't know, in my case, looking at the world or trying to come up with clever things, or I'll read something David Sedaris writes and I go, oh, that's, I can never be that good. So it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, for example, something I know we've talked about is I mentioned I was writing a piece about the whole Penn and Teller Fool Us story, the crazy saga I went through with it. And I've been writing that piece for over, 2 years now? And it is still utterly unpublishably bad. Like, I'm still trying to finish that piece, like, and get it good enough to actually put on the internet. And it's just nowhere near there. I just have not been able to find a way to make it hang together and work as a piece of writing that's actually good, rather than just, bleh, here's some words, like all the other fire hose of shit on the internet.
Well, going back to David Sedaris, he said something about, you know, he's very lucky that there wasn't the internet when he started, because he would have just been putting stuff out. And, you know, the first 7 years of writing or whatever, even the first 3 years, you know, he said it was just crap and terrible. But because he was able just to kind of keep it to himself and perfect it to himself, he was then able to put it out and, you know, get response, and it was polished. So there is something to keeping, in your case, keeping these stories to yourself until you're ready to release them. I think that's, you know, kind of noble in a way. That's something a lot of us don't do. We feel the pressure to throw out constant content these days because that's what the internet tells us we have to do, and to instead of making it, you know, close to perfect or making it something that's, you know, really special. So I don't think that's a bad thing on your end. I think that's a good thing to hold on to.
Yeah, well, you know, insert standard 2 magicians, 1 mic, social media is the devil plug here, right?
I don't know.
It's causing such unhealthy relationships between people and creation and publicity and communication and standards and all kinds of stuff.
I'm such a hypocrite because I did these like 2 opening dates for Justin, and then you get like an extra 50 followers and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then you're like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, it's very nice that people want to follow, and it's cool that people are, you know, quote unquote fans or like what you do, and that means a lot. It really does. And it's nice to have real people following you on Instagram as opposed to just like robots for the local taco store, because that's all it seems to be. I can't believe we've made it this far. I guess we're going very slowly outside of my port here in Port Canaveral.
Maybe the cell waves are, man, my brain is just not on form today. I'm just fumbling for words and trying to kick my brain into gear. Yeah, maybe the cell wave things are long. What am I even saying?
The fact that you're even getting out sentences listeners. After your crazy work schedule is pretty insane. I mean, that was me on
true.
Monday. So, you know, like 6 a.m. flight Friday, next day, you know, working till midnight, then we have another 6 a.m. flight Saturday, and then connector, and then same thing, same story Sunday, and then into Vegas, got in at 8 in the morning, 6 a.m. flight, got in at 8 in the morning, Chris and I had a red eye to get onto the ship the next day, and it's just like, in between that, having to pack and prep for shows, your brain just can't function, and there was like stuff we forgot, or like we had a friend staying over to watch the dogs, and it's like all these tiny details you think you have ready and set and prepped, and you can't. And it's amazing just the amount of brain power that is lost in simply planning, you know, a day or two ahead. It really drains on you.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's funny also because the way the schedule worked out on this particular ship was one of my shows was on the final night before I was due to disembark. And that's again, you know, standard disclaimer, right? First world problems and all that jazz. But it's still a pain in the ass because the way, when I'm traveling for these things, about 80, 90% of my luggage is gear for the shows. So, and a lot of that I have to pack very systematically to make sure nothing's lost. Everything's so absolutely mission critical. So until I've done the show, I can't even really begin to pack. So when, and it was a double show night. It was a 8:45 show and a 10 p.m. show. So if I finish about 11, I've sort of bumped out of the theater by 11:30. And so at 11:30 p.m., I can begin the multi-hour packing process that's so complex and intricate with all the bits and pieces and the checklists and making sure, with then needing to vacate early morning, like before 8 a.m. the next morning for immigration and to get out of the cabin. And it's not the worst thing, but it's a pain in the ass, and I'm very sleep deprived right now. And now, of course, you have to be out of the cabin at 8 a.m. because they need to give that to somebody else who's then re-embarking. But my flight's not till 4 p.m. My pickup's at 2:30 p.m. So now I'm in this weird limbo, and there's not even anywhere to put bags on the ship. Like, on a giant cruise ship, there's no spare space to actually put my luggage. So I'm hanging out in the cafe area with my, like, four bags of everything, of insanity, just kind of now currently taking a time out to find a quieter place to record this before I go back to hang out for another, like, 5 hours in weird sort of semi-limbo. And again, it's fine. This is so much better than working in a cubicle or at Starbucks or anything else, but, oh, God, I'm a wreck. I'm a mess.
I was so jealous yesterday. I worked with a ventriloquist. I caught his adult show. He ended the show, grabbed his puppet, put it in a bag, and walked into the audience straight into his room.
Oh, that's glorious.
I'm like, that is the dream. I wish I could do that. Puppet slammed in a bag, walked off stage. It was beautiful.
We talked about that whole, I think, so much, particularly when hanging out with other variety entertainers, about the pros and cons of being a comedian versus vocalist versus instrumentalist versus juggler versus acrobat versus magician versus slam poet versus whatever. And, like, you know, the comedian has no props, and so it's just amazing. They can travel super light. But if they're not connecting with the crowd, they got nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
And then, like, the magician, you know, we've got way more shit, but at least if we're not connecting, at least we can do magic. And then, like, the instrumentalist or the vocalist is the opposite. Like, they don't even need a crowd to be there, and they can still do their show. Obviously, it's not as good, but they can at least sing the song or play the tune. But the instrumentalist has some serious luggage issues, usually, and the vocalist is so vulnerable to the state of their voice. Like, if they get slightly sick or have, you know, hung over or anything, their whole show can be destroyed, whereas we can power through pretty easily with a messed up voice if we have to. You particularly, Mr. Non-Words, and now Non-Music. And then if you're a slam poet, just no one likes you, so it's a problem.
I talk like this with words. No, I worked with an amazing slam poet guy. I'm blanking on his name, but it was great. It's one of those things. It's like mime. Until you see it done well, you have such an opinion about it. You're like, that's crap. Yeah, and then you see it done well, and you're like, that's life changing. That's super amazing. But I mean, yeah, it's the same. I mean, people see magic the same way, you know. Until you see it done well, it's birthday party entertainment.
Yeah. And for the record, that was 100% joking on the dissing slam poets. Because, yeah, you're absolutely right. You should never, ever dismiss an entire genre or medium just because you've never seen a good example of it. Good examples are out there.
Totally.
You just haven't encountered them.
Getting to what you just said, I mean, I was glad I had the magic to rely on. I had my late-night adult show, which I have another one tonight, and I'm hoping it goes better. But my late-night adult show, which is always hit or miss on these ships because you're in a lounge, it's tough to connect with people. And my character, I was just having a tough time getting in character, as, you know, just things you say or improvising back and forth. But I was lucky I had the magic to rely on, because that was seemingly the only thing that was connecting with the audience. Usually it's a combo of the comedy and that, but I was just so thankful I wasn't a comedian in that moment, because I just couldn't turn it on. And that's the most terrifying thing about stand-up comedy to me. It's like, what if you don't want to turn it on at 10:30 on a Wednesday? You know, it's a tough time.
Yeah. Yeah, what if you can't get that connection? And what if the audience just isn't with you? Then that's a special kind of death.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I am passing the beach now. it's only moments, Simon, before we our tether is lost at sea. And
I'm kind of almost weirdly excited for this strange death of the
It's going to be like the Sopranos ending,
which I actually haven't seen, so no spoilers.
Well, I kind of just did.
No, you didn't. I don't know anything about it. I just know clues. Sopranos ending has some weird tail off thing. That doesn't tell me anything. I'm
how
still
did
good.
You not see the,
I'm still,
how do you not know the end of the Sopranos? It's iconic.
I never watched the Sopranos. There's a lot of iconic stuff out there that I haven't seen.
Okay, I'm unfairly judging you. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair. I think it's entirely reasonable judgment in the scheme of things.
Anything you want to throw in there until we get lost at sea?
I don't know. I think, God, what is the... Hold on. I'm, like, switching earbuds because one of my earbuds is dying. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. The downfall of the AirPods.
Check out my blog. There's an article there now for the first time in a year, thingsbysimon.com. See if
should,
you tell us
should
if
they
you
like
it.
And subscribe too?
I don't know, probably. How do people even read blogs anymore? Are RSS feeds and RSS readers still a thing?
I don't know. I think unless it's thrown in front of your face in a Facebook article or an email, it's kind of invisible.
Well, I'm posting links to them on most of my social media things. It's hard to post links on Instagram. It's one of the things I really find annoying and useless about Instagram. You can't really link to stuff on it.
It's a weird feature.
It doesn't support hyperlinks.
Yeah, I don't. It's like link in profile, but that doesn't. It's like, okay, so you constantly have to
change
it.
Yeah, constantly update that to whatever the thing is, so you can't go back and look at anything historical. It's just dumb. I mean, I hate all of social media for different reasons, but Instagram is particularly annoying because it's not a medium I really care about. I don't find photos interesting mostly, with very.
But all of
exceptions.
Your photos are incredible. You only post interesting photos, which is so ironic.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but for me, even my photos, I think they only become interesting with the captions I add. It's very much a photo with caption intrinsically part of this piece, because I don't really know ways to make photos themselves interesting. I mean, but that's subjective, right? What one person finds interesting is totally different to another. Just because I don't find my own photos interesting doesn't mean other people won't, if they're more visual rather than verbal or conceptual.
Yeah, I think it's like chocolate cake. You really have to like kind of pick and choose. It blows my mind when people post photos of just everything nonstop.
Yeah. Hey, it's a market. There's demand for that.
That's a market.
I don't know who is demanding that or what's going on in their heads, but there's demand for it. Oh, I think it's happening. I think we're starting to lose each other.
Oh, are we losing it? Are you there? Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. Hello?
You know what's funny? I'm still hearing tiny snatches of your voice, but only intermittently, like word fragments.
Oh, he's gone. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm not going to finish up that last thought because it's a weird personal story, and that goes on a while, and that's just me rambling. But thanks for making it this far. We're off to sea now. In Florida, alone, into the infinite abyss. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
And thus the call finally died. Nick drifted off into the waters near South Florida. Simon remained sitting on the docks in New Zealand. And thus the podcast ended. Don't forget to like and subscribe!